You're listening to Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
Yes, this is Stars in My Eyes by the Screaming Memes. What a track, what a tune. And we're playing it because we've got Michael Larson in the studio. How are you doing, Michael?
Good, well, thanks.
I'm very excited to speak to you about your recent audio culture piece on 10 lost airworms from the 80s.
From the 80s.
And this all started because of a little bit of banter about smoke machines at a band practice.
Yes, it did. It did. Singer and songwriter is from a well-known Dunedin band, and we're talking about smoke machines and how we wouldn't have them. You know, bands have to have manifestos, right? And he looked at me and he said, "You would have been in one of those Auckland wanker bands. I bet you had a smoke machine." And I was like, "Yeah, we did, actually." Yeah, it made the keys all greasy, but, you know, that's how it goes. So it kind of started with that. And then I thought, was there really an Auckland-Dunedin divide back then in such a small country? But actually there was.
Wow, we love that. It is a great piece. You touch on 10 tracks, as the title alludes to. This particular track, Stars in My Eyes, why did you choose this song for us to listen to?
Because a little bit of nepotism, Nick. I went to Rosmini College for my sins, and the Memes came out of Rosmini College, and there was a whole North Shore Rosmini College thing. A scene, I think they called it back then. And I first saw the Memes in the school art room. And, you know, they were an explosion of colour and life and energy. You know, I mean, there was probably, I don't know, what's that? You know, candy floss and donkeys, you know, and then here's the Memes. And then at the, there was a school talent quest, and they played Teenage Kicks by The Undertones, which, if you know what it's about, it's pretty appropriate for young boys who spend too much time in their bedroom, you know. And I thought, wow, this has got some, this has got something about it. So I chose this track because in such a short space of time, they'd become kind of so slick, and I mean that in a good way. And the tracks I chose, or tried to choose, sort of showcased that, you know, we were getting quite sophisticated with such little resource in this country in the mid-80s.
Yeah.
This is 83, I think. And the Memes were so good. And also what I liked about this, and just listening to it again, is the quality of playing was so good. Like, they were really, really good musicians.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a mixture of a whole bunch of things, and I quite like it's gone into a kind of a funk space with all the bass
horn
and the
section?
Horns.
Yeah.
Wow. So that was kind of the thinking behind it, as to how far they went so quickly, and then, like so many bands, just imploded and went off in different directions.
Man, the 80s seemed like a wild west in Aotearoa. I think about it all the time, and like whenever you see the old television ads of people in, like, I don't know, sign lager jackets or something. So cool. The next song you picked for us is Waiting for Touchdown by Sneaky Feelings. Why'd you pick this track?
Okay, because this, in a way, apart from the smoke machine comment, which obviously I still have a resentment about, this has kind of kicked the idea off, which I took to Chris Burke at Audio Culture. I used to have a little orange BASF mixtape. You explain cassettes to the younger listeners. Yeah, man, what's that? This? Yeah, and I'd put it on a Spotify playlist, so I am still with it, don't worry. And and this song came up, and I actually had to pull off the road because I was like, whoa, shit, this is so good. I'd forgotten how good it was. And then I was like, how does that fit with all my Auckland pop swagger and, you know, white suits and all that sort of stuff? But I always loved the band The Church, and it's very reminiscent of Birds and Church, all the jangly guitars and I love that track. And I remember that a mate of mine handed me the album when I was like 15 or 16 and said, "This, you wouldn't listen to this normally, but man, you've got to give this a play." Whoa. And I kind of left it to one side, I'm not going to like this, it's from Dunedin, come on. And then one day I played it and I was like, shit, listen to that. So that album, Send You, it's called, it's just fantastic. And so just so that I didn't get in the ear from all our friends in the South Island, we made sure we included a Dunedin track in the mix.
Well, there you go. This is Waiting for Touchdown by Sneaky Feelings. I get why you had to pull over.
Mm.
That was very transportative, that song. Wow. set the scene for us. What were people listening to from overseas at this time that kind of informed the sound?
Well, the Auckland pop sound that people were listening to, it was, there was a lot of like soul and, you know, like Luther Vandross and that sort of thing was coming in. And what had happened in the music scene was people had, we'd had kind of this new wave thing and people were going to clubs and seeing bands like the Mimi's, and then all of a sudden in 85, good timing, it was when I joined a band to play live. Mm. It kind of stopped and everyone went to the clubs.
Wow.
You know, so like the Brat and the Bomb and all that. So there was this huge kind of black influence came in, which was awesome, but no one wanted to see local kind of pop bands
live anymore.
Yeah, except for the Dunedin stuff just carried on its own groove, doing its thing and doing it very well. So, it really changed.
I've heard about that from other people too. I work with Charlie Verburn, whose dad was a guitarist.
Yes.
And
Gary.
He told me like there was a point where his dad would be playing multiple gigs across Auckland in one night, and then all of a sudden it was like no DJs, like DJs only. Mm. We're just going to clubs now. It's incredible. But in Dunedin, they escaped that.
Yeah. They just kept going, you know, and they had the venues, I guess. It was a combination of so many different things. It was all of a sudden some of the venues changed and stopped having bands, and bands were too much trouble and they weren't enough. They didn't make enough money.
Yeah.
You know? And Peter Ehrlich and Mark Phillips started opening these clubs. And Auckland, and that was kind of the point of the piece too, in particular, was trying to kind of grow up and be, you know, we were getting these magazines in from overseas, and guys in particular were actually looking at what they were wearing and all that sort of stuff. And, I mean, people say that was really vacuous, but it was outstanding, because all of a sudden we were like, well, we're not just kind of, you know, you can't understand, like, what New Zealand was like in the early 80s. It was pretty dull, you know, and that's why all this stuff bursting on the scene was amazing. So we were trying to get a bit sophisticated, and like a toddler, we were kind of tripping over our feet, and some of it was good and some of it was woeful, you know.
Yeah.
But it was like, hey, and maybe we can take some music to the world. And I don't think we'd really thought like that.
Wow.
You know? And that was kind of why that period, you know, there was, as I said, there was a lot of bad stuff came out in general, but we were trying, yeah.
That's awesome. That's so cool. What a pleasure. If you're just tuning in, we're doing audio culture with Michael Larson today, speaking about Michael's piece, 10 Lost Airworms from the 80s. If you're a youngin' and you're listening to this, be sure, go and read the piece, take the songs, put them in a playlist, and play them around your parents as a little surprise. And I'm sure they'll think you're a lot nicer. But these are, I mean, that last song was amazing, that Sneaky Feelings track. And we've got one more track, which is Greater Hopes, Greater Expectations by the Dance Exponents. Why did you pick this track?
Personal connection, but also I just love the Exponents.
Yeah.
They were just, you know, they had two kind of bites of the cherry, and that, you know, most people know them from the White Is Love era, but, you know, they'd cracked it in kind of 82. And again, you heard Victoria go to the top 10 and it was like New Zealand music being played on the radio in the top 10. It wasn't done.
Crazy.
You know? Yeah. And so they were huge, and they did the second album called Expectations, which was perhaps a little ambitious. And they went from being a pop band to this big rock sound. They had, you know, the psychedelic first drummer came and drummed for them, and they had this international producer, and, you know, they were recording at Mandrill, and they filled the soft drink machine with Steinlager. So all the intentions were right. And I did what I think is I love the album, it's amazing, but it just, the kids that had started with them were like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And older people were like, I'm not going to buy an Exponents album, bro, you know, and it fell between the gaps. And we went on tour with them, which is kind of why I chose it. And they started each night with this song. And we did 3 or 4 dates around town halls and stuff, and it was great fun. And they were great guys. I was 18 years old, I mean. You know, okay, my university career went down the toilet, but I don't regret it for a second.
The time of your life.
Yeah, it was.
And here we are. I'm so pleased to have had you. Michael, thank you so much. We're going to listen to this track now. This is Greater Hopes, Greater Expectations by the Exponents. You're listening to BFM.
Yeah. this summer lake. Much calmer, warmer than winter time. When we were skating and the ice could always be seen. So intangible, why were you leaving me? I was swamped by sound.
Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz. It's just fascination.